First, two big polls came out in the last couple of days, looking, among other things, at the presidential race here in Wisconsin. They show former Vice President Joe Biden with a lead here in the state over President Donald Trump, and that lead has been growing. But how much should we read into polls this far ahead of Election Day, and does polling work differently during a pandemic? Harry Enten is a senior writer and analyst for CNN Politics. Harry, welcome back to the show.
Shalom. My goodness, I feel like it's been ages since
it has been. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, and it feels like it's been ages since I've left my apartment here in New York. But you know what? Better safe than sorry.
All right, Harry. I know you are paying attention to these polls. You're paying attention to Wisconsin. We're kind of a big deal in the presidential race. How much can we read into elections showing one candidate with a lead, you know, 4.5 months or so out from Election Day?
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the facts. First, we should obviously establish the fact that Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is in a lot of trouble in Wisconsin, right? The average polls has him there down right now by about 10 points. That pretty much matches the deficit he faces nationally. And look, there are candidates who have come back from such deficits. My most infamous example is Harry Truman in 1948, was basically down by around 10 points in June of 1948 and came back and won. But the fact is, if you were to really go across time, a 10-point deficit for an incumbent is not where you want to be. It's about where Jimmy Carter was down in the polls from Ronald Reagan at this point. And while there's certainly the chance for the polls to move, you'd much rather be up 10 points than down 10 points.
Some people have reacted, and I think some Republicans saying don't despair and some Democrats saying don't get complacent, saying, hey, wait a minute, Hillary Clinton was up in the polls at this point over Donald Trump 4 years ago, and look what happened in Wisconsin. Do you see differences there?
I mean, I do. I mean, first off, let's point out that if you had the same polling error, let's say these were the polls on Election Day, right, that Biden was up by 10 and you applied the 2016 polling error that occurred in Wisconsin, Joe Biden would still win. That's how large his lead is in Wisconsin right now. More generally speaking, if you were to look nationally, Biden's up by about 10 right now nationally. Hillary Clinton was only up by about 5 or 6 at this point. And perhaps most importantly, when you're looking at the numbers, Joe Biden is above 50% in the polls. He already has more than half the electorate saying they're willing to vote for him. Hillary Clinton was only polling in the low to mid 40s at this point, with a lot of voters saying that they were either undecided or they were potentially going to choose a third party candidate. So Biden, much better position right now.
All right, I'm going to bring up a question I've brought up years ago, and I think you probably get it a lot, Harry. People saying, wait a minute, didn't 2016 prove that polling doesn't work?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I was just on a Zoom call with someone. It's so funny. During this pandemic, I'm meeting people on Zoom calls that I might not otherwise have potentially spoken to, brought up the exact same point, and he brings it up over and over and over again. And here's what I'll say. The fact is that the national polls in 2016 had Hillary Clinton winning the national popular vote by 3 to 4 points, and she won by 2 points. The polls were really, really close in the national polls. So we can really take that national polling lead for Biden much more to heart than he really is ahead. And if you look at 2018, the national polls had the Democrats winning the national House vote by about 8 to 9 points. That's exactly the margin they won it by. And while Wisconsin certainly had a polling error in 2016, remember that in 2018, the Marquette University Law School poll done by Charles Franklin, who's a great guy, had Scott Walker basically tied right at the end with your current governor. And obviously, your current governor won by a point. So the polls actually were much better in 2018 in Wisconsin than they were in 2016.
Now, one dynamic, and correct me if I'm remembering this wrong, Harry, I seem to remember that, you know, there's a big part of the electorate that didn't like Donald Trump and didn't like Hillary Clinton. Come Election Day here in Wisconsin and some other places, a big majority of those voters, though we don't like either of them, split to Donald Trump. Do you see a dynamic like that this time around, potentially?
Yeah. So a few ways that I would answer that. Number one, it's true. You know, if you were to look last time nationally, I believe it was 18% of the electorate in the exit poll said they had an unfavorable view of both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and they went for Donald Trump by 17 points. Right now, if you were to look at the polls, it's a lower percentage who say they have an unfavorable view of both, closer to 10% than, say, 17% or 18%. And more than that, those voters who say they have an unfavorable view of both, Joe Biden in poll after poll after poll is winning them overwhelmingly. The voters right now who have an unfavorable view of both tend to be younger voters. They are going heavily for Joe Biden versus the last time the voters who had an unfavorable view of both tended to be more Republican leaning, and right now most Republicans are already behind Donald Trump, so there isn't as much room for potential surprise growth there.
Talking to Harry Enten, senior writer and analyst for CNN Politics, about political polling, what it means, what we can and can't learn from it. Harry, how has COVID-19, if at all, changed polling and how it works and what it means?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So it affects it in basically two ways. Number one, the good news is that over the long term, we have been seeing a decline in response rates in most political polls, right? At one point, you know, in a dream world long, long ago, you could expect 50% plus response rate. That was a long time ago. And it's really been sliding down to 10% or less over the past few years. The response rates have actually kicked up a little bit during the COVID-19 crisis, in part because of what we've been discussing during this call. People want to talk. They're stuck inside. They'll talk to anybody. So we really have seen response rates actually climb a little bit, which may mean something for the accuracy of polls, perhaps make them a little bit more reliable. The other way that polling has sort of been affected is that obviously people normally, if you're going to, you know, do a live telephone poll, these people are normally in call centers, and a lot of those call centers have been shut down, which means that a lot of these pollsters are working from home, which they can do. Or second, there are some pollsters who might have exported their work to another company, or perhaps they might go and use online polls instead of live interview polls just because it's easier during this pandemic.
Now, how about our voting behavior? And I'm guessing it's too soon to tell because we only have a few elections to work with, but you know, some people might not want to go to a poll, maybe, or not want to go and vote in person. Maybe they're going to vote by mail. Maybe they don't vote at all. Does that cast any uncertainty on what happens when we call and ask people how they're going to vote?
You know, the way that I think it might, and, you know, we certainly have seen a lot more people voting by mail in the latest round of primaries than we normally have, and I expect that to hold through the fall. I think the way it could potentially impact things, and we'll have to keep an eye out on this, is understanding who is likely to vote, right? Because at the end of the day, what you're interested in, if you're trying to call an election one way or another, is those people who are actually going to cast the ballot. And it could be the case that mail-in, that the fact that we have the pandemic may cause lower turnout rates, but in fact, it could cause higher turnout rates, especially if, as is the case in some states and some counties, voters are getting sent absentee request forms, or in some states actually even getting sent the ballot. And that could, in fact, make it easier to vote. So I think it's something that we're really going to have to keep an eye on. I'm not sure at this point who it might hurt or help, but it's certainly something that could impact the polls.
Let's talk about calling winners on election nights. This is going to be hard, I think, because part of that is done with exit polls where you ask people as they leave the voting station who they voted for. You can't ask an absentee ballot that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that the way that we call winners and losers on election night is going to change tremendously. And I would really plead for patience, right? It's much more important to get it right than to do it fast. And it's going to take a long time for the ballots to be counted. You know, in a number of states, we've already seen that. A lot of these states aren't used to getting so many absentee votes, so being able to count those in the most accurate way possible. And more than that, being able to figure out who's going to vote and how to reach them in terms of exit polls and pre-election surveys. Because normally how it would work, right, is in mail-in states, you might exit pollsters might call, place a lot of calls to people before, just before the election. And just figuring out that correct mix of in-day voting versus before voting is a very tricky thing that pollsters are going to have to figure out. So I would expect a much slower result. And we're going to know the result not nearly as quickly as perhaps we might otherwise this year.
In our last minute or so, Harry, is Wisconsin going to be the tipping point state in November?
You know, this is a great question. Obviously, it was in 2016, the state that had the median electoral vote plus one that helped put Donald Trump over the top. There's a decent shot of it, but it's basically probably going to be a contest, say, between states like Pennsylvania, Florida, Wisconsin, and Arizona. But the fact that Donald Trump is down 10 at this point in Wisconsin, I think tells you all you need to know about the state of the race nationally.
And we're probably going to, we had Vice President Pence here. We've got President Trump here today, a Democratic convention, whatever that looks like, in Milwaukee coming up. We're going to get a lot of love.
You're going to, trust me, you're going to get more love than you could possibly imagine. It's like bringing 20 puppies into the room at once. That's how much all the different politicians are going to love you.
Harry, thank you so much. Good to talk to you again.
Shalom. Be well, my friend.
You too. That's Harry Enten, senior writer and analyst for CNN Politics. He joined us today to talk about how political polling has been impacted by the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and for a look at some of the latest polls here in Wisconsin and around the country and what they could mean for the November election. You could still share your thoughts. Are you watching the polls? Are you steering clear of them? Do you believe them? Tweet us at Central Time WPR. That's at Central Time WPR. Or you can email us ideas@WPR.org. Again, ideas@WPR.org.